for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Thanksgiving Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, November the 30th, 2013. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on the spirit of insomnia.
God is so good if we never had another blessing.
Yeah.
He has blessed us beyond measure. Praise the Lord. Well, I didn't know Carla was going to teach in rest, and I felt like I was supposed to teach two messages this time, so I put in the second message was the spirit of insomnia. Amen. Anybody have a problem sleeping at night? Amen. Bless the Lord. Well, you're going to get free tonight. Praise, you know, a clear conscience is important to be able to sleep peacefully. The few times in my life I haven't been able to sleep was God was dealing with me. Or I'd wake up worrying. I mean, I'd be worrying. And you know what? The minute I get in God's presence, that it was over.
That's right.
In Jesus' name. And so the dictionary definition of, this is entitled The Spirit of Insomnia. The dictionary definition is inability to obtain sufficient sleep, especially when chronic difficulty in falling or staying asleep, sleeplessness. And I'm just going to read some statistics. An estimated 50 to 70 million Americans suffer from insomnia and other sleep disorders, which can keep them from functioning normally during the day. Sleep disorders can lead to conditions like obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Statistics. Adults who take sleeping pills in even small numbers over their lifetime may be nearly four times more likely to die earlier compared to those who are not prescribed sleeping pills. And I can just add any kind of prescription drugs. If you read the side effects of the drugs you're taking, let me tell you something. The side effects alone will kill you. And then they'll give you another drug for that side effect. And you cannot get healed until you... The side effects cannot be healed until you quit taking whatever you're taking. I'm not telling you not to take it, but let me tell you, it's slapping a Band-Aid over a spiritual problem. And so we know that it's just like a hanging in there kind of thing. Many people who take psychiatric medicines are suicidal. I know at least two people that have killed themselves on psychiatric medicine. The side effects, actually, sometimes they even keep you awake. I know one particular man that killed himself, and I believe it was accidental, but I researched the side effects of the medication, and it actually keeps you awake, and he was depressed, and the Lord showed me later that he, I take eye vitamins, and sometimes you'll think, did I take my vitamin? And so what happens if psychiatric medicine puts you in a stupor and you can kind of hallucinate, or you may go someplace and not remember getting there, you know you're going to forget, did you take your medicine? So then you take the pill and you can't sleep, so then you take another one and you forget you took the last one and you keep on and you accidentally kill yourself. And so the more you get delivered, the less of that you'll need. I'm not telling you not to take it, but I'm telling you to get deliverance. Find out why you think you need it. Find the spiritual root to it. Anyway, but people that take sleeping pills are more apt to die earlier than people that don't. According to new findings published in the British Medical Journal, and those prescribed sleeping pills may also be more likely to be diagnosed with cancer, the study found. Researchers looked at electronic medical records of nearly 35,000 patients. Fewer than half of them took such FDA-approved sleep medications as Ambien, Restorol, Lunesta, and Sonata. They found that even those who took fewer than 18 sleeping pills a year were at a greater risk of death compared to those who were not prescribed sleeping aids. Insomnia is not a disease. It's a condition of the heart. It's a condition of a person's failure to enter into God's rest. And Carla taught on rest last night. So insomnia is not a disease. It's a symptom of a person's failure to enter God's rest. And if you'll go to Deuteronomy 28, I want you to read this verse, verse 65. And I'm going to read out of the New American Standard. And I believe that it's not as accurate as the King James, but sometimes I like to read both. I like to see what it says both places. And if it's easier to understand, I say it in the New American Standard. But in Deuteronomy 28:65, it says, well, first of all, Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 says, because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments, and then it lists probably almost 60 curses. Curses are carried out by demons. And you know what? We can talk about our authority over demons, but if you're in sin, you don't have any authority. You've got to get your heart right before you can bind the devil. You can bind him all day long and he isn't leaving because God let him be there because of sin.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ defeated Satan at Calvary. He spoiled principalities and powers, making an open show of them. God uses the demons to discipline his children when they get out of line.
Amen.
Basically, bottom line. So you don't have a demon problem, you got a God problem. You don't have a devil problem, you got a God problem. People treat the devil like he is more powerful than God. He's not. He's not even a sprig of dust compared to God. God created him. All things are God's servants. He created the wicked for the day of judgment. But Deuteronomy 28:65 is one of the curses that's listed because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments. It says, among those nations you shall find no rest, no resting place for the sole of your feet. There the Lord will give you a trembling heart. That could be heart palpitations, heart problems, failing eyes, and despair of soul. Tonight when I read that again, I thought, you know, I've never forgiven my forefathers because eye problems is a generational curse coming down. Everybody in my family almost was blind when they died. In fact, I think I had a great-grandmother that was blind. And when I read this, again, I repented and forgave my forefathers because of rebellion for the disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments that would put me under a curse of finding no rest, no resting place for the sole of my feet, a trembling heart, and failing of eyes. That's a curse. It's not a blessing. And so a curse without a cause cannot light. Proverbs 26:2 says a curse without a cause cannot light. So if I've got sickness, also in Deuteronomy 28, it lists sickness as a curse. If sickness is a curse carried out by a demon, I need to find out why it's a curse. Where have I disobeyed God's word? Where have my forefathers disobeyed God's word? And you may think, well, some of these scriptures don't even apply to me. Let me tell you that your forefathers were in all kind of mess. And so when you deal with your sin, you need to forgive your forefathers for the sins they committed. And when I read the word, I just repent over each scripture as I read it, like I've committed the sin, and a lot of times I have. And then I forgive my forefathers for committing the same sin, and then I break generational curses, and I get deliverance just lining my life up with the Word of God. All you have to do is submit yourself to God, number one, that's repent. Number two, resist the devil and he'll flee. I have a friend that used to say, hedge down, sick'em. You know, we have a hedge around us of protection, Psalms 91. But when we're in sin, God drops that hedge and it's sick'em. I mean, he's not Let me illustrate this way. Say, this is God's refuge, Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. If I get outside of God's refuge, if I step out from under God's authority, I'm out under Satan's authority. And I'm a target for the enemy. My grandson told me that that helped him more than anything was that principle of God of Psalms 91, staying under God's authority. And so it's a curse. Now, why is no rest a curse? Because in the New Testament, God says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Submit to me. Is that what he's saying in that verse? Come under my control. I like to say it this way. Take your junky clay and get it on God's potter's wheel. He's the potter and you're the clay. You can't fix yourself. I thank God that He calls us to yield our lives, give up our life for Him. Deny ourselves, take up our cross. Hold on to your life and you lose it. Give up your life for God's sake and you'll find it. And when we do that, we rest on the potter's wheel. And I'm learning, I haven't learned so much, but I'm on a quest to know God better.
Yes.
I want to be less of me and more of Jesus.
Yes, praise God.
And as we decrease, He increases in our life.
Yes.
As we submit to Him, God increases the glory in our life. And so it's a curse because to get out from under the curse, we come unto Jesus and take His yoke. Well, if I don't have Jesus' yoke, I have a different yoke. Is that right? And there's a yoke of iron in Deuteronomy 28 that's a curse. He'll put a yoke on your neck and you will serve your enemies in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the lack of all things. And He will put an iron yoke on your neck until you're destroyed. That's big root to neck problems. Being stubborn, stiff neck, that's rebellion. You know what steadfast means? Steadfast means I'm steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. It means I'm stubborn for the things of God. But perverse and crooked means I'm stubborn, stiff-necked for evil. And so I want to be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. And a person who has a problem with sleeping is discontented with his life or her life and have not come into God's rest. Now, there's exceptions. I know Nikki, sometimes he'll send out emails at 3 a.m. He's up praying. I'm saying, please pray for me while you're up. And I have another friend that she gets up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and prays. And intercessors do that. That's an exception. I'm not talking about being an intercessor and God's calling you to pray. Because when you're in God's presence, listen, you have peace. You have rest. All of your problems, I don't care what they are, when you give it up to God, it's not a problem anymore. Praise the Lord. A dictionary definition of this of contented, then, is satisfied with what one is or what one has. You see, sin causes my conscience to not be clear and causes me not to be satisfied. I may think, well, I'm satisfied in my sin, but honestly, you really aren't. You're really discontented. Discontented with his or her life and haven't come into God's rest. Contented means willing, the state or feeling of being contented, contentment, satisfied, gratified, mentally or emotionally satisfied with things as they are, peace of mind, mental or emotion satisfaction. And it means to see to one's heart. God tells us to watch over our heart. That's the spiritual garden of our life. In that spiritual garden, there's good things and bad things that have been planted. So we need to look at the fruit to find the root. Like if there's corn growing in your garden, you need to look for a corn seed. If there's perversion growing in your garden or lust, you need to look for seeds of lust, watching pornography, looking, reading dirty books, looking at pornographic pictures and movies. You're planting seeds in your spiritual garden. And the bad seed, it says in Leviticus 19, the bad seed will destroy the good seed. You don't have to take care of the weeds in a garden, but you better take care of the tomato plants and all the good plants, because if you don't, the weeds will get out. And it's the same with your spiritual garden. You better be hoeing up those weeds. I'm serious. That has been a quest of my life, is to hoe up everything that doesn't look like Jesus. And that should be yours too. If we're not overcoming, we're overcome. You're either overcoming, we are more than conquerors, we are overcomers in Christ Jesus, but sin causes us to be overcome.
Yes.
To go backwards instead of forward. To turn your back on the Lord. And we're living in days that you better be dealing with your stuff now, because when calamity hits this country, you're not going to have any protection. It's going to be too late to deal with your issues. And maybe somebody said, well, you shouldn't say it. It's the truth.
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to look at what's going on in the world to know how long. Every year when Jim asked me to speak at the Spiritual Warfare Conference, I think, if we make it to March. Honestly, I thought that, and I'm not just a doom and gloom person, but I thought that for the last 5 years. If I'm here in March, I will. And I'm not meaning we're going to get raptured out of here. We're going to go through it. We're going to go through it. But we've got to, if we're not overcoming in a land of peace, what makes you think you're going to overcome in a calamity? When people are scrambling to get out of the big cities. When people are climbing over the walls of your property. You better make sure there's angels around your property. And you better make sure that you got God's favor. I think it was Nikki or somebody said something. I want to be on God's side. And I'm learning that God has got it all planned out. And He's more and more teaching me that. It means to see to one's heart. So watch over your heart. Proverbs 4 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. And you know, one of the roots to ear problems is not listening. Closing your ear off, God's trying to talk to you, and your ears are like anvils. God says to him who has ears, let him hear. We all have ears. You know, I try to direct people to my house who come and buy puppies. And I'll say, now when you get to this exit, you wait and call me, and I'll direct you to my house where you won't get lost. They go zoom right by it. They don't hear a word I'm saying. And then they end up in Timbuktu and want to know where I live. I don't know where you're at. But I'm not criticizing. But you know what? I'm not trying to criticize, but we don't listen. And if you're going to be a minister of the gospel, you better be a good listener. You better listen to what people are telling you, because what's coming out their mouth is what's in their heart. And just listen to what's coming out of their mouth, and you'll know exactly what's in their heart. And so it says, for they do not let them, the word of God, depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Isaiah says, God will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon Him, because you're trusting in Him.
Yes.
And Jesus said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave you, not as the world gives you, give I unto you. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not tell you so. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you'll be also. I want to be where Jesus is.
Yes.
Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Just think about this verse in the days we're living in. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even when they're wanting me to take the RFID chip so I can buy or sell, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's a place of plenty. He leads me beside still waters. That's a place of peace.
Yes.
He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life, even with the one world order, will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Oh, yes.
What an awesome end time verse to comfort your heart. And so we're to see peace. And you want to write these verses down and study them. And for time's sake, I'm not. It's harder for me to turn, because The letters in my Bible get smaller, but God told me a while ago my eyes were healed.
Praise God.
And I haven't seen the manifestation of it, but I'm going to do like Merle said. I'm going to praise the Lord that they're healed. The Lord showed me something about healing. If I'm moaning, groaning, and complaining, I'm not in the presence of God. And I have to have the presence of God to get healed. Is that right?
Amen.
So I better be praising the Lord because God inhabits my praises.
Amen.
And so we need to seek peace. Psalms 34:14 says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So we're to run after peace. "Turning back to folly causes me to lose my peace." Psalms 85:8. "I will hear what the Lord will say. He will speak peace to His people, to His godly ones, but let them not turn back to folly." There's another scripture in Proverbs that says, "The folly of a fool is his discipline." My son lived a foolish life, lived a homosexual life, and his folly aids disciplined him. If you overeat, your folly disciplines you. If you go charge up your credit cards, your folly disciplines you. And the Word says, be sure your sin will find you out. And you know what? You can be totally prayed up, repented up, but God still sees so many things that are wrong with you. So we have to stay on the potter's wheel. Yield it to Him, and the potter takes out the trash. If you're one that thinks you have to fix yourself, that's a work of the flesh. God expects one thing out of you, and that's to yield your life to Him. Just give up. "Loving God's law gives me great peace." Psalms 119:165. "Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble." Hallelujah. "Living with those who hate peace can be a detriment to my peace." Psalms 126. "Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace." Don't let people live in your house who hate peace. God wants you to have peace. Run out the demons. If somebody is trying to do right and loves God and wants to do right, then help them. But don't let people bring in their serpents and their demons into your house and take away your peace. "Being on the path of wisdom is a pleasant, peaceful path." Proverbs 3:17 says, "Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. And happy are those who hold her fast." I remember when my husband was taking off leaving me, and my son was dying of AIDS, and my neighbor said, "Jerry, you just have so many problems." I thought, "Lord, I'm so happy. Am I deceived?" And I really sought the Lord. Well, Lord, is she right? Am I deceived? Because I'm happy. I'm at peace. And I was in Maine. I always read the Bible to my granddaughters when they were little, and I'd be reading the Bible, and they'd be pushing their little buggies around. And I came to this scripture: "All God's ways are pleasant ways, even AIDS. And all His paths are paths of peace." And so you know you're walking in peace when you have peace. "When the government has been misplaced, I lose my peace." Isaiah 9:6 says, "For a child, Jesus, will be born to us, a son who will be given to us, and the government will be at rest on His shoulders. And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And you know, children that grow up in homes where they have to be the mama, they have to be the daddy, they've had the government placed on their shoulders, and they can lose their peace. And if a child grows up that way, they have no respect for authority because authority has been incompetent. And so the lie is God is too, because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. God's not like our mom and daddy. He's perfect. But when we have a mom and dad that give us an imperfect picture of God, then we believe the same lies about God and authority. "A mind stayed on Him assures me of peace." Isaiah 26:3. "The steadfast of mind you'll keep in perfect peace, because He trusts in you, That's to be stubborn for the things of God. That means if somebody said deny Christ and puts a gun in your head or wants to hang you or cut your head off, you say, I'm not denying Christ. Whatever you do to me. I think it was Nikki's message on the body. It's God's body. That was a good revelation, Nikki, that was God's body. And if it's God's body, that helped me. He can do whatever he wants to with it. Amen? Wickedness in my life or my life. And be repenting of these things, whether you think you've done it or not. Your forefathers have done it. Wickedness in my life or my bloodline hinders me from peace. Isaiah 48:22. There is no peace for the wicked. So if I have wicked forefathers, and we probably all have, there's no peace. In Christ we have a covenant of peace. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may be removed and his hills may shake and bombs might be going off. I'll add that. But my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. So no matter what happens in this world. Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars, but see that you're not afraid. These things have to be. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Hallelujah. Walking in an upright way guarantees me peace. 2 Samuel 57:2, he enters into peace. They rest in their beds, each one who walked in an upright way. So there's a promise that if I walk in an upright way, I can rest on my bed. Having a troubled and fearful heart is a guarantee I lose my peace. And you can't get God's peace through worldly methods, through pills, alcohol, and drugs. That won't give you. That just helps you hang in there. And I told a lady the other day, I said, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your psychiatrist, you can keep your pills, and just hang in there. Or you can go to the great physician, and he will give you permanent healing in your body, soul, and spirit. And if he doesn't, your body's his. But he doesn't want you to have a sick body. Because Jesus overcame the world, we can have peace. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Oh, they think they're so smart, don't they? God said he laughs because he sees these people coming. This is one of my favorite verses. Demons submit to foreigners, submit to me. The minute they hear my voice, they come trembling out of their fortresses. So that means you have authority over enemies coming. You have authority over the demons and people that want to come near you. And if you know that authority, the devil's not going to let them come around. Especially if you're going to win them to the Lord. Right? When we lack the fear of God by turning aside the filthy, cursing mouth, we don't know the path of peace. And I don't mean just... I don't mean using profanity necessarily, but I mean any time if I'm not blessing somebody, I'm cursing them. If I'm not speaking life over people, I'm speaking death. It says in Romans 3:12-17, all have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is no one who does good. There is no one, not one. That includes us. Their throat is an open grave. Their tongues, they keep deceiving. You see, that's a root, the big root of cancer of the throat. It's a big root to sore throat. It's a big root to throat problems. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The fear of God is to turn away from evil. Wisdom. The fear of God is to turn away from evil. Well, we're not supposed to fear. What's the difference? A true fear of God will cause me to run to God for the answer. A demonic fear of God comes in through your childhood. You're afraid of your daddy. You're afraid of your mother. So you believe a lie that God is, that I have to be afraid in a demonic way. A demonic fear of God will cause me to run, do like this with God. God, I'm afraid you're going to hurt me. But a true fear of God will cause me to run and jump in God's lap. Doing evil brings tribulation and distress, Romans 2:9. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Doing good, and doing good grants me glory, honor, and peace, Romans 2:10. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And of course, we are the spiritual Israel of God. When I don't forgive, I lose my peace because I'm turned over to the torturers, to the demons that inflict pain, the pain of disease. That's in Matthew 18. Jesus talking to Peter. He said, I'm going to do this to you. You're going to be turned over to torturers, which means demons that inflict pain. In fact, if you don't forgive, you won't have eternal life. Peace is something that must be pursued. Romans 14:19. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. That's New American Standard. King James says, pursue peace with all men and without holiness. No man will see the Lord. That kind of narrows down people that call themselves Christians, doesn't it? There was one thing that I appreciated that when I met Nikki, and I told him, and I don't flatter people, but he has a walk with God that few people have because he loves God with his whole heart. Very few people love God with their whole heart. And I wasn't trying to flatter you, I mean that. And you can see the humility in his life. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not eating, drinking, but joy, peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Unbelief robs me of peace, hope, and joy. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And when you lose your peace, you've got a problem. You can know that something's wrong. My daddy gave me years ago, gave me a brand new Cadillac Eldorado. And I'm telling you, it had a computer system, and if one little thing was out of whack, there would be a thing come across the computer system problem. And so when I lose my peace, I have a system problem, and so do you. And when I lose my peace, I say, okay, God, where'd it go? What did I do? Because you did something, or God's ready to deal with something else in your life. And sanctification, without sanctification or holiness, no man will see the Lord. God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Deliverance from the molestation of the enemy. Like Patty said, we're all a work in progress. Nobody has arrived. We're all a mess. We are. And after I get through teaching, you'll know, especially me. And I'm not trying to draw attention to myself. But I say that because I want to be holy like God's holy. I want to be pure like He's pure. And I'm going to work on it as long as I have breath. You don't ever arrive. If you ever get to the place where you don't keep on pursuing God, can I tell you, go backwards?
That's right.
It says in Romans 1, they exchanged His glory for animals and creeping things and crawling things. It says, because they exchanged the truth of God and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator, He gave them over to a reprobate mind. There you have Alzheimer's, one of the roots to Alzheimer's. It says in Romans 12:1, present your body to God as a living sacrifice and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So just, did I lose my place here? And so we're to dwell on pure thoughts. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good report, if there be anything that's excellent or anything worthy of praise, think on these things." You see, evil thoughts also come out of a spiritual garden that's corrupted with bad seed. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Lord, why am I keep, you know, the enemy wants to shoot thoughts in your mind, and you just, get out of here. It's not a sin. If I have a thought of lust, and I think, get out of here, it's not a sin. But if I have a thought of lust, and I go, yeah. You see, it becomes a sin because I've received it in my heart. And so, but say I have a thought that just keeps coming back, won't go away. That's something that's been planted down in my heart, either generationally or something that I've done that the Lord wants to heal me from. He's trying to show me the next thing. When I have a thought, or if you keep saying the same old thing, for years and years, y'all hear me say, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat. And now I'm saying I'm almost fat. But I repent. I'm not going to say that anymore. And so if it's something that sticks and you're constantly saying it or constantly thinking it, then there's something planted down in your heart that needs to be dealt with. And all you have to do is ask the Lord, and He'll show you and then break it and deal with generational stuff. Because we're born with a garden full of weeds that's coming down through the generations. Peace is a part of the armor of God. Ephesians 6:15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's a place in the Word, and I don't know, I think it's in Isaiah somewhere, but it talks about their feet are unshod, which is a picture of rebellion. And so God wants to shod our feet. Unbelief robs me of hope, joy, and peace. I already read that one. Anxiety will cause your peace to vanish. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Give up. Let go. Let go of everything you're holding on to. Your children, your mate, your marriage, your finances. Everything you have is God's. Let go of it. And this helps me. I do this in my own life. I can stand here and tell you I don't have not one fear in my life because God taught me this principle. I take it up the mountain and I'll say, Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? He's telling me my grandson is going to go in the Marines. And that grieved my heart so bad. For 2 months I grieved over that. And then I thought, I got to let this go. And so I just said, Lord, if it'll bring you greater glory and honor for David to go into the Marines, then I ask you to put him in the Marines in the name of Jesus. But I only ask you one thing. Don't let him be put anywhere that wouldn't bring you great glory and honor. And that's what you have to give it up. You know, when God told Abraham to put a knife to his son, his only son, that didn't sound too nice, did it? So everything in your life where you're fearful or you're angry or you fear they're going to get rejected, or you have to say, Lord, if the whole world rejects me, so be it. The devil, you're not going to reject me. All I ask, Lord, is to glorify you the most. And I told the Lord that. I've prayed that 3 times with my eyes the last 2 times I'm in it. Lord, if it glorifies you the most, if I could serve you better blind, then, Lord, so be it. You know I don't want to be, but if that would bring you greater glory and honor, so be it. But all I ask you, Lord, is don't let me leave this world without fulfilling what you put me here for. I don't want to miss. You see, you might think that you're wasted, that you're no good, that God can't use you, that you're nobody. We're all nobodies. It's only Christ in us, our hope of glory. You know, if you take this Bible and you put a $1 million bill in it, if it was such a thing, there's not such a thing. But if you did, this $20 Bible would be worth at least $1,020,000, right? My point is, you contain the King of Kings, Christ in you. Yes. Now, we need to die to ourselves so we can let Him out to the world. We need to die to ourselves because when we die to our life, the life of Christ comes through. Yes. And then we can love people and be long-suffering with people. So wherever you have fear, wherever you're depressed, give it to God. Making peace sows seeds of peace. James 3:18, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Having the knowledge of God multiplies peace. 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then be diligent to be repented and confessed up and prayed up. Even after you're prayed up, confessed up, and repented up, there's still stuff. There's still more, but He'll let you rest before He shows you something else. And that's how you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, why do I always act this way? Lord, why am I always saying this thing? Lord, why am I always thinking this? Why is this always happening? God just loves to give you the answer. A lot of times, if I have problems with somebody, God's trying to say, you did it too. If you have a problem with somebody, it's because your conscience is not clear. So, Lord, why? What is it about this person that is really getting on my last nerve? Something I saw this week about my daddy. My daddy had a hard time with me. I think I was his favorite, but he had a hard time with me. He was always trying to perfect me. I guess that got me started wanting to have my life right with God. But everybody used to tell me I was just like my grandmother Reddick, which was his mother. And I saw just this week, my daddy had a hard time with me because I was pushing his mother buttons. I just now saw that. My mother used to say, you're just like your grandmother Reddick and your daddy. You're just like them. Anyway, so there's a reason why everything. God doesn't care. You know, when I ask God why, it's not because I don't believe Him. I think He's smart. But I'm asking Him to give me wisdom, because if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraids not. But don't be like I've been, like a ship tossed to and forward. Did you say that, God, or didn't you say it? Oh, God, is that you or is that not you? How many of you have done that? Yes. Praise the Lord. Well, God wants to speak to us, but the devil speaks to us too. So if you don't know the Word of God, you won't know if it's God or the devil talking to you. And so we need to be diligent to confess our sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, because you give the devil a foothold. And I can say anger is linked into idolatry. And so all sin is idolatry. And that means don't go to sleep at night with unconfessed sin in your life. And we have peace even when God removes. We can have peace even when God removes it from the earth. Did you know God's going to remove all peace from this earth, and the only ones that will have it will be His children? Revelation 6:4, and another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. But if a man's ways please the Lord, Proverbs 16:7 says, even his enemies will be at peace with him. And an enemy cannot come near you unless God has a holy purpose. And so other things that take away our peace, not believing God will keep you safe. Psalms 4:8. That comes in through mom and dad not keeping you safe. If your mom and dad, you were safe with them and you felt comfortable with them, peaceful with them, then you know God's going to keep you peaceful. Nighttime was always... When I get in bed at night, I always felt the peace of God over the house, because I can never remember a night in my life that my daddy was not home. And he was the strongest person I knew, and nobody would tackle him. And I always felt safe. Even when I get in bed at night, I feel so safe. But I'm not telling you that because I'm saying, ha ha, I had a daddy that made me feel peaceful. I'm saying that because if you had a daddy that did not make you feel peaceful, forgive him. And just say, I forgive my dad that I was afraid of him, that he didn't protect me, that he abused me, that he did this, da, da, da. And Lord, I renounce the lie that you're just like him. You're nothing like my daddy. God is a perfect daddy. Psalms 121 says, I will lift mine eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God never sleeps. If your daddy was a drunken bum, then God's not drunk up in heaven and don't see that you need help. Can you see the relation? The only image a child gets of God is how he sees his parents. His perspective of God is determined by how he sees his parents. And so we got to get our mother-daddy issues healed, because that's why we faint, we give up, we quit. We don't go to him because we think he's like daddy, stupid, drunk, whatever. But you have a perfect heavenly father that wants you to run to him. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel, that's you, shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. You know, you hear that Jesus is coming back after the stars fall from heaven and the moon quits shining and the stars quit shining. But God's not sleeping. And he won't let you be smitten by the sun. If it falls, it won't fall on you. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going in, your coming out from this time forward, and even forevermore. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. He gives to his beloved. When my granddaughter was born, this little song came to me, and I had never written a song, but I had prayed for her. But she's 28 now. I've been praying for her for 41 years, and she's 28. But so when she was born, this little song came to me. He gives to his beloved in her sleep. He gives to his beloved in her sleep. He gives to his beloved. He gives to his beloved. He gives to his beloved in her sleep. The fear of the Lord leads to life. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I can't remember all of it. But anyway, he gives to you in your sleep. He opens your ear, it says. And it says he opens your ear and delivers you from your pride in your sleep. Failure to make a place for him in my spiritual temple, Psalms 132:4, I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place of peace for the Lord, a place for the Lord, and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. And he doesn't want to live in a temple that's not being cleansed. Rebellion to God, lack of discipline, not listening to God, not walking in wisdom. Proverbs 3:19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding he has established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop dew. Parents being poor role models causes you to believe God's the same way. He's not. Being a person who's been wicked and associating himself or herself to walk the path of the wicked, loses their peace. Proverbs 4:14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it and pass not. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. There's a lady I've been ministering to, and she has done so many wicked things, and she can't sleep without her pills. And she was a lady. I said, you got to deal with all of these things. And she said, these scriptures you're sending me is condemning me. I said, no, it's a diagnosis. If you go to the doctor, you look at the word to see what you've done wrong and then line yourself up with it. Don't look at it as condemnation. Look at it as a diagnosis so God can fix it. Lord, give that lady ears to hear. I pray that you'll get rid of that broken record demon that keeps saying that. In Jesus' name. We ask you to touch her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Being responsible for another's debt, being a stumbling block, a false responsibility, can cause you to lose your peace. And it says if you've been surety, go and Release yourself through repentance. That's in Proverbs 6. Not keeping the commandments of a father, Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually about your neck and tie them about your neck. Now this is talking about a godly daddy. So it's talking about a perfect heavenly father like your father. Because some of you couldn't have done some of the things that your perverted daddy wanted you to do. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And then not having the fear of God. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that hath shall abide, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Then trying to build one's own kingdom takes away your peace. Ecclesiastes 5:12, people who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but in the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. There is another serious problem. I have seen under the sun, hoarding riches harms the saver. Money is put into risky investments that turn sour and everything is lost. In the end, there's nothing left to pass on to one's children. Let me tell you, people that are putting their money in the stock market and in these investments and these securities and these different things, it's just paper. And I believe there's going to be a time, and maybe when the Obamacare thing is passed, I've heard and I hear so many things, so we'll just have to wait and see, that when that is implemented, legally, totally implemented, there'll be a worldwide financial crash all over the world to bring us into one world government. And it may not be then, but it's going to happen. The Bible says it. And God says, don't let it trouble you. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. Now, there may be some things that God tells you to do that you need to do. So do whatever God tells you, because He's smart. It says, money is put into risky investments that turn sour and everything is lost. In the end, there's nothing left to pass on to one's children. We all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day we were born. We can't take our riches with us. And this, too, is a very serious problem. People leave this world no better off than when they came. All their hard work is for nothing, like working for the wind. Throughout their lives, they live under a cloud, frustrated, discouraged, and angry. And I like what the New American Standard says. That throughout their lives they eat in vexation with great sickness and anger. That's what New American says. And we can sleep in a place of unpredictableness in covenant with Him. Ezekiel 34:25 says, I'll make a covenant of peace with them and eliminate harmful beasts from the land so that they may live securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Saying, in the woods is a place of unpredictableness. God says we can sleep right out in the woods and a snake won't bite us. Being agitated and angry, Daniel 2:1. Now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams and his spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Okay, here are some reactions that we cannot afford to have towards insomnia. Going to bed fearful or with angry or with sin in your life will keep you from sleeping. Becoming frustrated when you can't sleep. Worrying about how this lack of sleep will affect me tomorrow. Letting the frustration boil over into anger and rage. There was a time in my life when I couldn't sleep. My husband left me with Kyle, two little boys, 12 and 8. And I was a person at that time, I could walk 2 miles and never even sweat. But my body was in such trauma that my gown was soaking wet. And I would be trying to sleep, but I don't know if you've ever been so brokenhearted that when you try to sleep, you may be asleep, but it's like you're awake. And after about 2 nights of that, I realized the devil was trying to keep me awake. And I said, Satan, If you wake me up again, I put my Bible right here on my nightstand. If you wake me up again, I'm going to read the Word of God because I want to make this time profitable. One time he woke me up, I got the Bible, started reading it. Never again did he wake me up. And that was probably the only time in my life that my heart was absolutely broken. But I can tell you, weeping may go through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. And some helpful attitudes and things to do if you can't sleep. Well, read the Bible, number one. Because if the enemy is keeping you awake, he does not want you to read the Bible. And that will cause him to back off. Being content to stay awake all night instead of getting frustrated or angry, decide to wake up, make it. I'll make it this profitable. I will nourish my soul and I'll have a prosperous soul. A glass of milk helps you sleep. Hot cereal. Here's some foods that help you sleep. Almonds, milk, bananas, honey, flaxseed, potatoes, whole wheat bread, turkey, and oatmeal. Those are the foods that help you sleep better than others. And then exercise, and I don't walk like I should. I need to, but this is kind of gross, but I get my exercise scooping dog poop. It's kind of a messy job. You never get used to the smell either. Eat a good balanced diet. Stay off of stuff that's got all these preservatives in it. Just cook you some pinto beans. I grew up on pinto beans. How many of you had pinto beans 3 or 4 times a week? I did. And I still love them. And cut out caffeine after a certain hour, and maybe God may be telling you to cut it out altogether. Listening to soothing worship music, and I'm not talking about this demonic stuff they call Christian rock or some of the things, you know, in the meetings they have this demonic music and these drumming and steel guitars and you can't even hear the melody and they think they're worshiping God. They're worshiping the beast. They're bringing the beast into their presence, not God. God isn't like that. It's not such a thing as Christian rock. But as Bill Gothard says that when, this is a true story, missionaries were letting their kids play rock music, but it had Christian words, Christian rock. And they came to the pastor or somebody, and they said, the Navy said, why are you letting your children play music that's calling up demons? And the missionary said, but that's Christian words. He said, but the beat is drawing up demons. And so play the Word of God. That's one thing I do at home. Is I started doing this in 1990. I play the Word of God so I can clearly understand it. And I play it on continuous play. And I've been doing that since 1990. And I can tell you that's been one of the greatest benefits to my life. Sometimes you get in bed and you just lay there and you start just listening to the Word. Next thing you know, you're out. I mean, I don't have a problem sleeping anyway, but you're absolutely out. And then Song of Solomon says, my body's asleep, but my spirit is awake. You're feeding your spirit man while you sleep. Some other things that hinder sleep is the defiled conscience, not having a clear conscience. I know people that can't sleep because they're afraid somebody's going to get them because they've been watching scary movies or they grew up watching horror stories and horror movies. They think somebody, or they can't sleep because they have a feeling that some hand's going to reach out and grab them because they watched something scary. You see, those were seeds of fear planted through movies. Pornography, pornographic novels and books. I know a precious lady that when I go to an appointment with her, she's reading some kind of novel, but she has a problem sleeping. But I have to have the I tell her about Jesus all the time, about deliverance. She probably thinks I'm crazy. But I haven't had the liberty to mention her books without her thinking I'm hammering her. But she grew up her daddy was a pastor. And she says she loves the Lord, but she can't sleep because of the trash she's putting down in her heart. You know, it's going to come out somewhere. And then satanic covenants. Maybe your forefathers made satanic covenants, death covenants that need to be broken. Masonic covenants. Generational iniquities of the forefathers. Maybe you had wicked forefathers that couldn't sleep till they did evil. That could be coming down on you. It will be coming down on you. Not being nurtured and protected as children. Not feeling like you're in the loving arms of your parents, that you're safe. Being sexually abused as a child. I know people that have been put through satanic rituals or people that because daddy was an alcoholic, molesting all the kids, they made a vow, I'll stay awake and watch. And so they get 3 hours sleep every night. And they're not open to deliverance. But the reason is because daddy was an alcoholic, he molested all the kids, and this particular person was the watchdog over the family. So she promised herself she would not go to sleep. So that's why she can't sleep. I know other people that's when daddy, when dark came, that was when I was hurt. That's when they took me to satanic rituals. Or that's when my daddies and brothers would come in and rape me at night. So I vowed I'll stay awake and then I'm going to be safe. I'll protect myself. Being sexually abused as a child. Satanic rituals. Being born under the wrong refuge. Most of us weren't born under Psalms 91. We were most born out here because mother and daddy were not here. So we need to forgive our parents and say, Lord, I want to be in your refuge and come back under God's refuge. And then bad things happen at night. So I have to stay awake. So examine, and if that wasn't in your life, it could have been in your grandmother's life. Okay, our grandfathers. Okay, stand up. Please. My husband used to say please. So please stand up. Lord, I ask you to search my heart. Test my thoughts. I ask for the truth, Lord, that sets me free. And even if you don't have a sleeping problem, all of that other stuff applies to all of us. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, what do you want me to deal with right now? Show me, Lord, the truth that makes me free. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for grieving your heart. Forgive me for disobedience to your voice and your commandments. It would cause me to find no rest. No resting place for the sole of my feet, me to have a trembling heart, failing eyes, and despair of soul. Father, you said, come unto you because you labor. I labor and I'm heavy laden. You said you'll give me rest. Lord, I choose now to throw off every yoke and to take upon myself your yoke, which is light and easy. And I will find rest for my soul, for your burden is light and my load is easy. God, forgive me for never being satisfied. Forgive me for not seeking peace. Forgive me for turning back to folly. Forgive me for not loving your law more than I love my necessary food. Lord, I forgive all the people I live with that hate peace. Forgive me for putting up with people in my house that are not for peace. Thank you that you want my house filled with your presence. Forgive me for not being on the path of wisdom. Lord, if I was a child that had burdens put on my back and I had to be the caretaker, I had to be the mama, I had to be the daddy. The government was put on my shoulders. And Lord, it doesn't belong on my shoulders. And so I want you to reach up and say, Lord, I take the government off my shoulders and I put it on your shoulders where it belongs. And I resign as the God of the universe, trying to figure everything out. God, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my mother and father for that. Forgive me that my mind has not been stayed upon you. I forgive me for being wicked and I forgive my wicked forefathers. Lord, I ask you to make a new covenant with me today. And I break all satanic vows, oaths, and covenants coming down my bloodline that would hinder this covenant of peace. I renounce every satanic, demonic covenant made to Masons, made to any lodge or fraternity or any group that denies the blood atonement and the deity of Jesus Christ. And I make a new covenant with you, Lord, a covenant of peace, that when you remove peace from this earth, I can still be in peace. When the world order takes over, I can still be in peace. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me for not walking in uprightness. God, forgive me for being troubled and fearful and worried. Forgive me for not living in your presence. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not fearing you. I forgive my parents that I was afraid of them, and that's made me afraid of you. Forgive me for doing evil that's bringing tribulation and distress. Forgive me for not doing good that gives me glory, honor, and peace. Lord, I forgive my mother, father, for everything you show me. I forgive every person who's hurt me. God, I want to live in your kingdom, eating, drinking with righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. Not eating, drinking alcohol, but the joy of the Holy Ghost. Forgive me for not pursuing peace. Forgive me for unbelief and doubt. Forgive me for living after the flesh. Lord, I want you to shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace as I put on your whole armor, the helmet of salvation. I take up the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, and I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I forgive my forefathers and forgive me for being in rebellion and having unshod feet. Lord, I give it all up. Every fear, everything I'm concerned about, I take it up the mountain now. And Lord, I say, if it would bring you greater glory and honor for that bad thing the devil tells me is going to happen, so be it. The devil, you can't touch me in Jesus' name. All I ask, Lord, is that whatever you allow in my life, I will not miss why you put me on this earth. Thank you that I have a calling, everyone in here. I give up and let go. Forgive me for holding on to my life, not sowing seeds of peace, not having your knowledge that increases power. Forgive me for not being diligent to be repented up and confessed up. And Lord, I thank you that I can have peace even when you remove it from this earth. Forgive me for not believing you are going to keep me safe. Forgive me for thinking that you're just like my daddy and my mother. You're not. I forgive my parents for not letting me be safe. Father, in the name of Jesus, I make a place for you in my spiritual temple so I can have peace. Forgive me for rebellion, lack of discipline, not listening to my parents, not honoring my mother and father. Forgive me for being stumbling blocks to other people. And Lord, I take off all false responsibility. Forgive me for not keeping your commandments, not having a true fear of God. Forgive me for having a demonic fear of God. I forgive my dad and mom that I was afraid of them. And Lord, I believe a lie that I have to be afraid of you. Forgive me for trying to build my own kingdom, eating in vexation, great sickness, and anger. Lord, thank you. With this covenant of peace, I can live in the wilderness and sleep in the woods and not be hurt. Forgive me for being agitated and angry. And Lord, forgive me for the vows I've made that I'm not going to sleep. I've got to stay awake to protect everybody. I've got to stay awake to protect myself because bad things happen at night. I renounce that. And Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not making my times of being awake profitable. If you're a person that can't ever sleep, just read the Bible all night. And I guarantee you, if you don't go to sleep, you're going to your soul's going to prosper. Lord, forgive me for not taking care of my temple. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Forgive me for being angry at my maid, my children, my family members. In Jesus' name, I forgive them all. And Lord, I thank you that you allow them to be in my life to purify me. Thank you, Lord, to make me pray. I just praise you, Lord. Lord, I just release a spirit of intercession over this meeting in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I forgive my forefathers for everything I've confessed. I forgive my mother and daddy for letting my brothers and sisters hurt me, not protecting me, using me as a pawn. I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. Lord, in Jesus' name, if Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his grandfather Abraham, what's that to say about all the stuff that came on me in the loins of my forefathers? And when you break the generational curses, you're not saying, Lord, forgive Granddaddy because it's too late for him. You're saying, Lord, I recognize all this mess coming down my bloodline. And I am going to be the one in my bloodline that is going to stand up, take accountability for all of that, and put it under the blood of Jesus and say it goes no further on my children and my descendants in Jesus' name. Praise you, God. In the name of Jesus, we come against the spirit of sleeplessness, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, fear, torment, unforgiveness, hatred, wickedness. We break the power of that in the name of Jesus. We command you to leave now in Jesus' name. We break the power of intimidation, fear of rejection, fear we're going to go broke, fear of the days we're living in, fear of the one world order, fear they're going to make us take the chip. We're already marked by the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can mark us. We're already marked. We praise you, Lord. Carter Conlon from Times Square Church, he has a message. He uses this illustration. The devil sends out people to put the mark of the beast on everybody, on the church, put them on people. And the demons come back with the devil and they say, we couldn't do it. And they said, he said, why couldn't you do it? And the demons say, they're already marked. I like that. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you. I just want to say this too. If you choose it, then you're in sin. But if it's forced upon you and it's against your will, you don't have to sweat it because it has to do with your will. Amen? We're never going to deny Christ because of God's grace. So in Jesus' name, we come against rebellion. We come against stubbornness, perverseness. We come against sleeplessness. We come against anger, bitterness, resentment, hostility, murder, divorce, division. We come against it in the name of Jesus. We break your power over every person in here in Jesus' name. And Lord, I loose upon them a spirit of rest. I loose upon them your beloved even in their sleep in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to give them sweet sleep in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Amen.
Bless the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.